Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to talk about Elijah and Elisha again this evening. And honestly, we're getting to one of my favorite parts here, and I think you'll see why here in just a moment. But 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read the first 11 verses, so keep your Bibles open to 2 Kings 2. We're going to use it tonight. We'll turn to one other passage later in the sermon, but don't you worry about where that is right now. 2 Kings chapter 2, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on that and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and they parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, to me, I don't think it gets much more exciting than this. You can't really call it Elijah's death because he didn't die. So Elijah gets ready to go to heaven. Amen. Elijah is about to go to heaven without dying. God told him that he would go to heaven via a whirlwind. Now, we would use the word translated to heaven without dying. By the way, there's only one other person in Scripture that happened to, and it's a man in the book of Genesis, and his name was Enoch. Enoch and Elijah are the only two humans that have gone to heaven without dying first. It wasn't Mother Mary. I hate to disappoint you. Mary was never translated to heaven. She is not the mother of God. Amen? Now, I say that because apparently this was a fairly well-known event, because as we read in the first 11 verses here, people knew about it. The sons of the prophet came to Elisha twice and said, don't you know today's the day that Elisha's going up? They knew what day it was. Now, Elisha wanted to spend every moment he could with Elijah. And on three occasions, Elijah told him to stay where he was. And he said, let me paraphrase it, I'm not leaving till you go. Till you go to heaven, I'm not leaving your side. As you live and as your soul lives, I'm staying right here till you go up. As they walked along, they had crossed Jordan. Elijah took his mantle. He struck the water. It divided. They walked over on dry ground. It came back together. And as they were walking and talking, Elisha and Elijah were separated, but the Bible says, look at verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And they parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, this wasn't what's the name of that stupid show from the back in the 50s with the Wicked Witch of the West and... That's it. It wasn't the Wizard of Oz. All right. Man, my brain wasn't working today. But you have to understand that this chariot of fire carried by horses of fire, as they walk together, and I'm sure, Brother Josh, if you'll stand up here, men don't walk as close together as ladies do. We don't walk like this. All right. No man wants to touch another man. And if he does, we can take him out back and fix that problem. But I'm sure that as they were walking along, they were probably fairly 2 or 3 or 4 feet apart, that all of a sudden they looked up and here come these horses of fire and chariots of fire straight at him. You say, what'd they do? Man, they just dodged out of the way. Elisha ducked one way, Elijah ducked the other way, thank you. And the Bible says that a whirlwind came and took Elijah up to heaven. Now, you say, that can't happen, preacher. Can when God's in it. Right. You say, well, explain that. I don't have to explain it. God said it. Yep. Period. If the tornado can pick up a house and throw it on a witch in the Wizard of Oz, I guess he could take the prophet of God up too. Amen? Now, maybe we can get... Never mind. Now, I don't know exactly how it all happened. God gave us these details, that's it. But there are several truths and some principles in this story that I want you to see tonight, and I think it'll be a blessing. Now, I got to tell you that before I start into the actual Bible study, to me, the funniest part of all this, Brother Mike, and pardon me for showing humor in the scriptures, but I see humor in things in light of reality. Do you remember just a few chapters back, Elijah's sitting under a tree wanting to die? God comes to him and says, I'm not only going to not let you die now, you ain't going to die till Book of Revelation. You got thousands of years to live, dude. Now, I don't know about you, I find that humorous. He said, you're not going to die right here, and I'm going to keep you alive longer than anybody else, all right? Nah, 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 complain again, all right? It struck a funny bone with me. I found humor in it. A few chapters before then, he's wanting to die, and God says, nah, I'm going to make you live a whole lot longer than most people, all right? So now, first of all, Elijah knew that he was going to heaven without dying. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And you have to understand something. He knew that was the day. Look at verse number 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, look, don't you know that God's going to take Elijah away today? And he said, I know. And let me paraphrase it. He said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Modern vernacular, that means, yes, I know it. Now shut up. And that was a nice way to say it. Hold your peace, all right? Look at verse number 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hush up your mouth, amen. He said it again. And look at verse number 7. And 50 of the men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. You say, what were they looking for? To see if they could watch Elijah go up. They were watching for it. Everybody knew about this event. Now, I can't answer this to satisfy everybody's inquiries. I don't know how he knew. I don't know how everybody else knew. I just know they knew. We do know that God spoke to Elijah. So I'm assuming God told him on such and such day, you better have things in order because you're going to leave there and come here on a whirlwind and you're not going to die, but I'm going to bring you to heaven. It may be that God told him that he would come back and preach during the tribulation as was prophesied in the book of Malachi. Go to Malachi chapter 5. Malachi chapter 5. And I'll get into more of this next week, but I'm going to mention it this week, maybe just for a moment. Malachi chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Verse number 5. I knew there was a 5 in there. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 5. I'm looking at the 5, all right? Malachi 4, 5. Behold, I will send you who? Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now look at me. That great and dreadful day of the Lord is what you would know as the Battle of Armageddon. That is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. God said, I'll send Elijah before that day. Now watch this, keep reading. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, again, I'll get into this more next Wednesday night. But let me say this, if you read the book of Revelation, here's what happens. The first three chapters talk about the seven churches of Asia. There are seven specific churches. They're not church ages. Mr. Schofield's wrong. He's a dispensationalist and he's an idiot. These are seven specific churches. And those churches, just like any church, have lessons for all of us. But chapter 4, verse number 1 of the book of Revelation is the rapture. It says, behold, I heard a trumpet blowing, and there's a sound saying, come up hither. And then it starts talking about those that were in heaven. That is the rapture. During the next many chapters, you have something, two events going on at the same time. You have things that are going on in heaven and things that are going on down here on earth. The moment the rapture takes place, the great tribulation begins. It is 7 years long. It is broken up into two three-and-a-half-year sections. The Antichrist will set up his kingdom in that first few days, few weeks, so to speak, and there'll be a one-world system. That's where everybody will have to take the mark of the beast, maybe a vaccine. But they'll have to take this mark. There'll be no buying or selling. There'll be no trading. There'll be no ability to go about without that mark. It'll be in the forehead or the back of the hand, according to Scripture. You say, well, how? It doesn't matter how. Guess what? You're not going to be here. If you're saved, don't worry about it. All right? Just don't worry about it. It's not going to happen before the rapture. But once that takes place, Antichrist will set up his kingdom, and it'll be 3.5 years of peace on the earth. Then the Bible says, let me put it in, all of God's wrath is going to cut loose. That's when you have the seven vial judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven bowl judgments, the seven horse judgments. And you'll have seven series of sevens. And there's going to be a new judgment take place on the earth about every 4 to 6 weeks for the next 3.5 years. At one point in time, one third of the earth will be burnt up and disintegrated. At another time, 25% of the world's population will die. That's 2 billion people. Now think about that. No, it's probably Nancy Pelosi going to show her real face. Take the mask off. Ah! Everybody dies. Now wait a minute. During that period of time, the Bible talks about two witnesses that'll come to the earth and preach. And there'll be 144,000 Jews get saved. The Jehovah's false witnesses get it wrong. There's not only going to be 144,000 people in heaven. These 144,000 people are going to be people that these two witnesses preach to, and they're Jews, and they go all around the world spreading the gospel, trying to get people saved. Guess who those two witnesses are? Probably the two people that have never died, Enoch and Elijah. Yes, say, why is that? Because as it is appointed unto men, once to die, and after this, the judgment. Bible says that after that period of time, that the Antichrist will come and kill Elijah and Enoch, and their bodies will lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights. And the, borrow a term since we sang Living by Faith, I was thinking of Brother Roloff. The major sewer networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox, and all of them, they're going to have their cameras fixed on these three dead bodies for 3 days, or two bodies for 3 days and three nights. But guess what happens on the fourth morning? Brother Elijah leans over to Brother Enoch and said, are you ready, my brother? Let's give him a shock here. And they stand up and God takes them on worldwide television up to heaven in their own personal rapture. Now that's enough to make a Methodist want to shout, amen? Now, say, where did you get that, preacher? Well, there's a lot of study in that, but if you go back to Malachi chapter 4, there is no chapter 5, verse number 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In other words, he's sending Elijah back. Now, we know Elijah's still alive because when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah came back to comfort Jesus. Now, I'm not going to argue with you if you disagree with me that it's Enoch and Elijah. Some say it's Moses and Elijah. You can say whoever you think it is. I just told you who I believe scripturally it is. I do believe everybody agrees it's Elijah according to Malachi chapter 4, verse number 5 and 6. Now, say, why did you say that, preacher? Well, it could be that God told Elijah that's what was going to happen. He didn't tell him when that day would be. He just said, I want you to come here till it's time for you to come back and preach. Can you imagine the sermon he's going to come back and preach having been in heaven all these years? Can you imagine what he and Enoch would have seen for these thousands of years in heaven? Whew. You talk about two go after it soul winners and some, they've been trained at the feet of Jesus to preach for a couple thousand years. Man, that's enough to make you really want to shout. Amen. So, Elijah knew that this day was coming, that he would leave earth, go to heaven without seeing death. How did it come about? Apparently God told him. And probably he told others about it. You say, why? I think I would too. I don't know about you. But I don't know any more than that. So that's number one. Number two, this is something that's near and dear and special to me. Elisha did whatever it took to stay close to Elijah. Elisha did whatever it took to stay close to Elijah. If you look at verse number 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry ye here, and I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. They were in Gilgal, and Elijah says, well, I've got to go to Bethel. How about you stay here, and you just keep on doing what you're doing, my friend. And Elisha looks at him and said, preacher, as long as you're still alive, I'm going with you. I've served you all these years. I'm going with you. I don't necessarily want to see the event only. I want to be with you to that last second. Then, verse number 4. And Elijah said unto him, they go to Bethel in verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, we've gone from Gilgal to Bethel. Now we've got to go from Bethel to Jericho. How about you stay here? And he said, uh-uh. He said, I'm going with you. He said, as long as your soul lives, as long as you're alive, as long as you're still breathing, I'm going with you, preacher. He said, all right. So they go to Jericho. Then you get down to verse number 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan. He said, look, I've got to go over to Jordan, and that's across the Jordan River. And he said, just stay here in Jericho. I'll go over Jordan, and you can just stay here with the sons of the prophets. He said, uh-uh, preacher, I'm going with you. He said, all right. And they crossed over. Now 50 stayed back on the other side watching, and they walked out of view. And while they were walking, by the way, it didn't take long for Elisha to have God show him what was going to take place. They walked maybe just a little ways down the road and got out of view. And all of a sudden, here come the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, separated them. And whirlwind took Elijah straight up into heaven. And he watched it take place. Now, did you notice something about that crossing of Jordan, though? Look at verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and there divided the waters hither, divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on what? Dry ground. Sound familiar to another time when they went over that river? With Joshua going into Jericho? Notice the prophet leaving Jericho, same city, going across on dry ground. You'll find out later, next week you'll find out, after Elisha sees Elijah go up, he comes back, he takes the mantle from Elijah, he folds it up and hits the water, and he crosses back over on dry ground. You realize that's three times in world history that the Jordan River has been crossed on dry ground, virtually in the same spot. Say, what's the importance of that? They went over on dry ground. But it was Elijah's last miracle was the crossing of Jordan on dry ground. It was also Elisha's first miracle on his own after Elijah went to heaven. You say, why is that important? Number three, Elijah, after they've crossed Jordan, looks at Elisha and says, look at verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now I want you to know something. Elisha asks for a double portion of Elijah's spiritual life. I've heard this preached a lot. It doesn't say a double portion of Elijah's personality. That would be his soul. The soul is that ability to communicate with man. My soul is communicating with you. We've asked the Holy Spirit to work through me into with the Holy Spirit in your life and the Word of God, but it's my soul that is the vehicle that's being transferred on. But watch this. Elisha looks to Elijah and says, sir, if I could just have a double portion of your spirit on my life. Look at that word spirit. Capital S or small s? Oh. Now look at me. That's why in the next verse Elijah said that was asked a hard thing. You say, why? It's something that Elijah could not give. Brother Greg, I can't give you my spirituality. Oops, and it transferred to your life. I can give you my klutziness, but I can't give you my spirituality. My spiritual life comes by my spiritual walk with God. That is something very personal between you and your God. Brother Josh, I love you with all my heart. I'll give you anything I've got, but I can't be spiritual for him. He may learn some spiritual truth from me. He may learn some things to do. He may learn a lot of things not to do. But I can't be spiritual in his life for him. But Elisha said, I wish I could have double the walk with God that you have. I wish my ability to get a hold of God and get God to give back to me through me to other people, I wish it to be double. Now, this is not a double portion of personality. This is a double portion of his communication with God and God working through him. In other words, he was asking Elijah to get God to do double through him of what he did through Elijah. Everybody look at me for a moment. I'm going to relay a story. I may have given the story one time before. I knew Dr. Joe Boyd, Evangelist Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd was a giant of a man. Joe Boyd, 1939, was drafted to the Washington Redskins. He was a pro football player. He's a Gold Gloves boxer. He played on the championship team for Texas A&M back in the 1930s. Joe Boyd was probably about 6'3" and went 260, 270. He was a giant of a man. He went into pro sports. He broke his neck, got out, became an accountant for a major shipping firm in the state of Texas. And about the age of 30, Joe Boyd got right with God and started preaching. Went to Bible college. Joe Boyd preached for many, many, many years. Nearly 60 years. Now listen to me. Joe Boyd was just a little older than I am right now. I saw Dr. Boyd at the camp, and I was just a young kid preacher. Brother Joe, how you doing? Take that. His hands were about that big. I mean, he had, I don't know if you remember Brother Boyd, but he had huge hands. And he grabbed hold of my hand, and we were talking. And he said, son, he said, I've been preaching now for, I think he said at that time, about 30 years. You got to understand, it was 30, 35 years. He was 60, 65. And I looked at him, I said, Brother Joe, can I say something without you getting upset? He said, we'll see. I thought, oh, Lord, shut up, Bush. But it was coming out the mouth. I said, Brother Joe, if I live long enough to be your age, I said, I surrendered to preach at the age of 13. I will have been preaching double the amount of years you've preached. That big old tough man grabbed a hold of me with both hands, both arms, and squeezed me and picked me up. I thought he's going to bear hug me to death. And the tears started squirting out of that old man's face as he shook me like a bottle of pop. And he started shouting, glory to God, glory to God. I wished I could say that. Glory to God. He put me back down. He took that finger that was about that long, stuck it in my face, and said, don't you ever quit preaching, son. He said, I wish to God I would have started preaching earlier. Well, at the age of 54, I've been preaching almost as long as Joe Boyd did by the time he was in his 70s. If I lived to be as old as Joe Boyd was, I will have preached almost 75 to 80 years. Think about that. In other words, I may get a double portion of God's Spirit or the Spirit of Joe Boyd. Does that make sense to everybody? It's the best way I know how to illustrate that. That's kind of what Elisha was asking of Elijah. Now, look at verse number 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Guess what? Elijah said, I'm stuck to you like glue. They didn't go far, and it didn't take long for this to take place. But God did, by the way, you'll find out, God did use Elisha to have twice as many miracles. Elijah had 7, Elisha had 14. Elisha had a long, productive life for God. Elijah's life here on earth ended seemingly fairly short. Now, number 4, and I'll quit. Elijah goes to heaven by a whirlwind. listen to me. You'll hear people talk about chariots of fire. And he went up in the chariot of fire. He did not go up in the chariot of fire. The chariot of fire and the horses of fire separated them. You say, why? Because God wasn't going to miss and take Elisha too. He only wanted one in that whirlwind. And he took Elijah up in the whirlwind, separated Elisha from Elijah. And that's the whirlwind that took him up. It was not the chariot of fire that took him to heaven. The old black spiritual swing, low sweet chariot, that wasn't it. That might be a different thing, but it's not in reference to Elijah and Elisha. The chariot didn't carry him home. It was a whirlwind that carried him home. Now, look at verse number 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Can I tell you something? Elisha was saddened and distraught and hurt that Elijah was gone. Even though Elisha knew it was happening that day. Now, please listen carefully. Knowing somebody's going to heaven doesn't make it any easier when they go. Plain and simple. Say, well, was it an expected thing? It doesn't matter if it's expected or unexpected. It's not easy. Since I last preached here Sunday night, I've gotten 5 different phone calls about 5 different deaths. Now, not every one of those people I knew, but I know the people who know them. Josh and Ruth Ann got a call this week. I've got a preacher who lost 2 people in his church this week. I got 2 other phone calls from 2 other individuals of people that passed away. Last week, I got phone calls. My wife and I have a friend in a different state. Her parents were down visiting. They all ended up with COVID, and mom passed away while she was there. This just keeps rolling. You say, well, that wasn't expected. It's a little harder when it's unexpected. I've been through expected deaths and unexpected deaths, and none of them are easy. I hate to disappoint anybody. See, well, at least you had time. Okay, it may be easier as you look back, but honestly, none of it's easy. Even though Elisha knew that Elijah was going to heaven that day, and Elijah didn't die. But he did go to heaven. Elisha was still upset. Elisha, you have to understand something. The premier man of God in the world was Elijah. Guess who was supposed to follow up after him? Yeah, can you imagine walking into them shoes? Now think about that. I loved Brother Hiles. He was not God. He was a great man of God. I spoke from behind his pulpit 5 different times in his place. My knees knocked every time I got up there. Scared to death. But I was with him clear up to the last day he was in the office. I was one of the last people to see him in the office as a staff man. I promised God, I promised Brother Hiles, the last words I would ever say to him would be, preacher, I love you. And that morning I had to stay and ask him a question after prayer time. He looked at me and he said, Craig, before you ask a question, he said, my back's really hurting. Could you pick up my briefcase? I said, yes, sir. Put it on the desk. I said, preacher, what else do you need? He said, I said, what else do you need? He had a couple other things he needed. Moved. I moved them for him. We talked for a moment. I said, preacher, I love you. I turned. I took about 3 steps. He said, Craig. And I turned around and he said, I love you, son. Those are the last words I heard him speak. And I said, I love you too, preacher. Whew. Last words I talked to my mama on the telephone. 6 days before she went to heaven. She was a bit delirious. She wasn't quite making a whole lot of sense. And I kind of got a little harsher. I said, Mom. She said, what? I said, I love you. She said, well, I love you too. Those were the last words I ever said to my mama. I hung up the phone a little while later and I looked at my wife. She came to our room. I began to weep and I said, I believe I've just talked to my mama for the last time. But I'm glad my last words were, I love you. I was pleased with that. I wasn't pleased that those were the last time I got to say it. But I'm glad that's the last words she heard me say. I know they're the last words my dad said to her. Because he never left the room without saying it. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this very carefully. Elisha, though, feels the full weight of the responsibility on him. He has to take up that mantle. He's got to walk back to Jordan, get across Jordan, and do double the work that Elijah did. Because he had just asked for a double portion. Guess what? You want twice as much, you got to work twice as hard. Amen. There's no more relying on Elijah. There's no more, preacher, what do we do? I was taking Brother Hiles to the airport one day. We talked and he said, Craig, what do you want? He said, we're going to talk about your future. This was just 4 or 5 months before he went to heaven. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be an assistant pastor. I'd been an assistant pastor for about 10 years. I ended up doing that for another 10, 13 years. I said, I enjoy serving the man of God. He said, well, he said, you do it, but God will tell you when it's time to pastor. And he did. He said, son, he said, let me tell you something. If I'd have known 55 years ago what you know now, I'd have never pastored either. I understood that. We joked about it. You know, there are days I'd like to pick up the phone and call him. Say, how would you? How should I? What would you want me to do here? There's days I want to do that. But can I tell you something? He taught me something. I have the same God he has. I have the same book he had. I have the same Holy Spirit. And guess what? I get to do it the same way he did it. He taught me how. There's no more advice coming from Elijah. Elisha now has to do what has been placed on him to do. He misses his preacher friend. He misses the man of God. He misses that security. But now it is time to go out and do what he was taught to do. The full impact of that was upon him. Can I tell you something? Wait till you see what happens the first day of Elisha's ministry after Elijah's gone. We'll pick that up next week. But just remember, Elijah didn't die. He went to heaven. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. All right? I got it right this time again. But Malachi chapter 4 talks about Elijah coming back and preaching. I personally believe that that's one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. You can agree, disagree. I wouldn't fight with you over it, just so you know. I'm not going to argue with anybody. You say, well, I have a different opinion. Great. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. It matters not to me. But I will tell you this. I've put a lot of study into it. I think you go long and hard to find out that I'm wrong. But I'm more than willing for you to say I'm wrong. Great. No problem. But I do know this. Elijah went to heaven without dying. And he will come back and preach according to Malachi chapter 4. By the way, the Jews have it wrong. John the Baptist was not the second coming of Elijah. The Jews believe that John the Baptist was the time when Elijah came back. Wrong answer. He'll come. You say, why? Because they were looking for Jesus to establish the kingdom. He had to come back as lamb before he came back as king.
Yes, sir.
He had to be savior before he was king. He won't establish the kingdom until the millennium. That's what the Jews are looking for. They're looking at the wrong end of the tribulation. And when Elijah comes back, they're going to say, Shazam, we should have listened. And there's going to be a worldwide revival of hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people getting saved for a short period of time until they kill the two witnesses. And then just remember, all the sewer lines of the media will be focused on them. And there'll be a personal rapture after 3 days and three nights. And the world's going to say, uh-oh. And it's going to be a good time. We're going to be in heaven doing all things we're doing in heaven. Don't you worry about it. You won't be here to see it. We'll get ringside seats when he comes back and watch Jesus kick the snot out of all of them. Amen. We're riding back on horses, and he's going to use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, out of his mouth. And that's where the battle of Armageddon takes place, and we get to watch it real close to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then he'll establish his kingdom. We'll rule and reign with him, and we'll be here for 1,000 years and then forever be with the Lord in heaven after that, after the new heaven and new earth.